Welcome back, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. We left off in the middle of Tes Amud Beis, Yud Amud Aleph, on Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Teisha Chanuas, Kulam Ruchas, Basar Shchut, Abachas, Mecheres, Bizar, Nevela. We learned that from the Pasuk, that there's a din of kol kavua kemachza machza dami. Even though the odds are 9-1, it's kol kavua. So when this is quoted in Yerideya, in Simen Kuf Yud, the Pischei Tshuva there quotes from the Chavos Das, that's the Nesivus' commentary on Yerideya, that we assume the odds are 9-1, even though the one non-kosher store, then one non-kosher butcher store sells more meat than all of the nine kosher stores together. So one might have thought perhaps you go according to how many pounds of meat there are. So there's more trefa meat than there is kosher meat. So the answer is no. The suffix is, v'lokach machas mehem, he doesn't remember which store he bought from. Sometimes he buys from the non-kosher store because he's buying food for his workers in his factory, because he pays them a salary and he gives them lunch also. So he doesn't have to get, they're not Jewish. He doesn't have to buy them glatt kosher meat. He can buy them nevela meat. It's muta bahano. If it would be osa bahano, so if he's parei chovo, misui hano, so that's called getting hano. But it's not osa bahano. The vela trefa is muta bahano. So this, and most of the time he buys by the kosher stores. He alternates, but he gets along with all the butcher shops. But he buys for his own family. He buys kosher meat. Today, he gets in the car, and then he doesn't remember he bought 10 pounds of meat. He doesn't remember, did he buy 10 pounds of meat for his family? Did he buy the, so it's kosher, or did he buy the 10 pounds of meat for the non-kosher, for the non-Jewish workers? So the suffix is, which store did he buy in? Or, Tosfos says, the case over here, bo'achba v'nata lefanenu. So Tosfos says, V'yomari, the Tosfos on Testament base, V'maschal hayne teisha chanuis, V'yomari, d'hoch marik shereinu, shalokach min ha-kavua. If pirish min ha-kavua b'faneinu, we were watching when the achbar took it from the kavua. So that's also called a sofik. Let's say if I'm watching where someone bought meat from a store. There are 10 stores, 9 sell kosher meat, and 1 sells non-kosher meat. When the one that sells non-kosher meat sells 10 times as much meat as all of the non-kosher butcher shops, sells more non-kosher meat than all the 9 kosher stores together. But over here it's a suffix. The odds are 9, it should have been 9-1. The odds are 9-1 that it's kosher meat, but that's the din of kol kavua. Say kol kavua kamachza amachza dami. But if it would be okay, so you say kol kavua kemachza machza dami. But what if it would be pirish? Or benimtza aloich acha haroiv. Benimtza means I find meat in the street. I wasn't watching. It's not. I wasn't watching when someone bought it from the store, and I didn't buy it from the store either. There's not a sofik. The suffix is not on the mokam akvias, the suffix is on the piece of meat. So, benimtza halocha acharoif, also you say the odds are 9-1, but you say the odds are that there's so much more non-kosher meat in the city. I would think that in the case of benimtza, it should depend how much non-kosher meat there is. I would think so. I would think this whole comment that the Chavos Das made, that should only apply, if not for the din of kol kavua, which we really don't understand any reason for it, any logic for it, not for the din of kol kavua, we would have said, you go bust the rev, the odds are 9-1. So he said, the odds are taka 9-1, even though the one non-kosher shop sells more meat than all the kosher stores together. That's often the case. If you have a few kosher butcher shops in the neighborhood, you have one non-kosher grocery store, and the A&P sells more non-kosher meat than all the kosher stores together. So if the suffix is which store did I buy in, or I'm watching and I see which store did Did the person buy in? And I don't remember which store, but the suffix goes back to the Malka Makvias. Then the odds are 9-1, but that's called Kavua. But if it's Benimtza, the Chora there, the suffix is on the meat, so the odds are 100-1. That is non-Koshmi, L'Chorit. I think so. But I think the Chabaz doesn't say that. I think the Chabaz says it on Benimtza. Also, that even though the one non-kosher store sells more meat than all the kosher stores together, it's still just considered 9-1. Is that true? So I think mathematically, I don't think so. Okay, and then we had Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. Simen Kuf Yud Aleph is the last Simen in Chelek Aleph Yoredei, the way in the Vilna edition of the Shulchan Aruch Yoredei. There are three volumes in Yoredei. So Chelek Aleph ends with Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. So Kuf Yud Aleph, Simen Kuf Yud has all the klolis veksveke and the shach, and has kavua. And Simen Kuf Yud Aleph is all about shtei kederis. So what's the din of shtei kederis? If you have two kederis and they're both kosher, and an iser, the rabbanon fell into one of the two, and you don't know whether it fell into this one or that one, so you have to aser both, because you can't say I like potato soup. So therefore, I'm going to say sveika de rabbanon lekula, that the treifa isa de rabbanon fell into the other soup, into the pot of chicken soup. I don't like chicken soup, so I'll say that sveika de rabbanon lekula. I want to eat the potato soup, so I'll go lekula. So you can't say that, because since they're both pots of soup are besofik, and you can't be mekel on both, that's not true. You have to be machmer on both. But if one of the pots is treif, one of the pots is kosher, then it's called taliyah. So then we assume that if it's an Issa Derabbanan that fell, and if it's an Issa Deraisa, the Sveika Deraisa Lechumer. If an Issa Deraisa fell into one of two pots, either into the Treifa pot and nothing changed, or it fell into the Kosher pot and it made a Treif. So that's Sofik Deraisa Lechumer. But if it's an Issa Derabbanan that fell in, so then you have the right to assume that it fell into the Treifa pot. But if both of the shtei kederis, both of the kederis are kosher, and the Issa Derabbanan fell into one of the two, you don't know which one, then you have to aser both, because you can't be mekel on both. That's tied to the sasre. Can't arbitrarily be mekel on the one that you want to be mekel on, be machman the other one, because that's not. I don't enjoy that kind of soup, so you can't just pick arbitrarily. But if one is kosher, one is treif, then you do have the right to be kosher. So here there was a problem. What's the din of Shnei Shvilin? Here about the six lines from the top of Yudam. And Aleph, that's a Mishnah, this non, a Mishnah and Tara. Shnei Shvilin, Echad Tamei v'Echad Tohar. And Reuven went on one Shvil and Shimon went on the other Shvil. And they both come to ask the Shaila Bevasachas. So they both come to ask Masas strict. If each one comes and asks the Shaila, so that's the din of Safik Tuma B'shus Rabim Sveika Tohar. Even though it's a Safik there, I said that's the klal. And Safik Tuma, you say Safik Tuma B'shus Rabim Sveika Tohar. But boil the shell shneim of Asachas, then you have to be metame both. So Tosis writes the second Tosis from the top of Yuram and Aleph, that this din bo the shab of asachas, then there's no machlik sabyun and rab yosi, near the hainam of the rabbanim of the raisa, afil of asachas term. So Tay said, this is really a befevish gemara like that, the gemara neither. The mikra din, you really say that they're both tohar, even though it's a dovish iyep shalios. Why? So Taisis explains that a dovish iyep shalios, the rules of Sofik Tumah b'shu sayochid, Tomei Vadai, Sofik Tumah b'shu sayochid, and Tohar Vadai, the rules of, learned that from the fact that the Chumash uses the verb v'nitmo in connection with the Eshes Ishes Insa by the Sofik Saito. So those rules don't apply by Dabashi Iyaf Shalios. So why is it that Meikar Adin Daraisa, they're both Tohar? So they said that's because each one has a Cheskas Tahara. Chazoka applies even a Dabashi Iyaf Shalios. How come? Because Chazoka is not Mevare, the facts of the case. Chazoka would be Mevare if the halacha tells you Chazoka is Mevare, the facts of the case. So it's a double shef shalias. It can't be. How can you consider it be? The answer obviously is Chazoka is just a din hanhoga. It's just the din had to be noheg. It's not mevar anything. So even though it's a taita disasri, they say that they're both tohar. Since he was tohar yesterday, they were both tohar yesterday. So each one has the right to be noheg today as if he's still tohar. And it's only a chumra midirabbanan because mechzi kechucha biyatlula. That's the lashon ha'tosfos. It looks like a joke if the rabbis are going to say that both are tohar. But mikra din, it really should have been like that. Not for the fact, the mechzik kechucha biyatlula. So the shach is bothered with the kasha, and he quotes that the rishonim are bothered with the kasha. This is the very end of Yeridei Chelek Aleph, the very last simon, simon kuf yod aleph. I think it's next to the last Sif Kotten in the Shach. In Shulchan Aruch, in every chapter, in every Simen, you have a Sif. You have Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, Sif Gimel. Then on every Sif, sometimes you have a few comments of the Shach or the Taz. That's called the Sif Kotten. So if I'm not mistaken, this is next to the last Sif Kotten in all the Shachs and the first Chelek Yeridah. The very end of Chelek Aleph Yeridah, next to the last Shach, where the Shach raises this issue. Why is it that by the Shteikideris, if it's a Tarte Disasri, the din requires you have to say that if they're both Tohar, and you can't paskin both Tohar, so you have to paskin both Tomei, so that's Mikaridin. That's not only because Mechzik Chucha Biatlula, that's Mikaridin. How come over here, by the Shnei Shvilin, it's only Midirabban and the Mechzik Chucha Biatlula? Why don't you say that it's Mikaridin? That's the Shach's Kasha. So the Shach says he thinks the answer is like the Bach. The Bach is a commentary on the tour. The Bach was the father-in-law of the Taz. Taz married his daughter. So the Shach often agrees with the Bach. Half the time he agrees with the Bach. Half the time he disagrees with the Bach. The Shach is an independent thinker. When there's a machlokes harishonim, he gives you his opinion. And he tells you which sheet that he thinks makes more sense. So the Shach thinks that the Bach is correct over here, that the only time you say by the Shtei Kederis, if they're both kosher, that even though it's an Issa, the Rabbanan that fell in, it can't be Mekel because it's a tied to the Sasri, that's only if both of the Kederis belong to the same person. So when the fella realizes that he has a Shaila on his hand, the Shaila is on both. The Issa the Rabbana fell into one of the two pots, and both of the pots are kosher. And you can't be Mekel Tarte Disasri. So that's because the both pots belong to the same person. So therefore, it's one big Sofek, and you can't Paskin Tarte Disasri. But here, the two people walking on the two highways are two different people. So there's one Sofek on me, a different Sofek on the other fellow. I boldly show the Vasachas. That's Mechzik Echuch Liatlula for Paskin. Both Tohar, the people, the Balabatim, will laugh at the funny psak of the rabbi. But Mikaradin, that's not called the Tarte Disasri. If the both pots belong to two different people, then even both the Shabbat Vasachas, it would only be a Chumah Midirabban, the Mechzik Echuch Adiatlula. But because the two pots belong to the same person, so that's why it's considered one big Leiris HaSafek. And you can't allow a Tarte Disasri Me'ikir Adin. And the Chavis Das disagrees. And he quotes that Beferish, this issue that the Shach took a stand, he passed like the Bach, this issue was a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ramban. That's unusual. The Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban. Most of the time he goes along with the Ramban. But over here, the Rashba and the Torah Sabbath disagrees with the Ramban. So this machlokes between the Shach and the Chavis Das is really a machlokes harishon. That's where the Chavis Das points out. What's the issue? So we pointed out there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that if the Mechaber quotes this and the Rama quotes this, they quote it, it's a Tosefta and it's a Yerushalmi. And the Bavli never really appears in this form, it appears in another form. I'll soon explain. And the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta, it says, if an Issa falls into a heter and it's batal b'shishim, so then it doesn't make the pot treif. So that's only if there's yedias hatarubis. If the owner knows, if the Jewish people know that there's an if there's a pro, that they have a problem on their hands, so then you say bitul brod. Because let's say if you have shishim in the kosher soup against the treifis that fell in, but it's going to be mispashet bechuloy. The treifas is going to, it's lach balach. It's going to spread. You're stirring the soup, and the treifas is going to mix in a whole pot of soup. And every spoonful of soup that you're going to put in your mouth is going to have a mashahu of iser in it. And then it's chatzi shir osam in Torah. So how are you allowed to eat? What does it help that you say it's batel b'shishim? But every, you know for a fact that every spoonful of soup is going to have a little treifa flavoring in it. You can't taste the flavor. Then the answer is that's a din of bitl berag. The halacha declares that heta isa nepachlias heta. The isa turns into heta. What do you mean the isa turns into heta? What, transubstantiation? Sounds like the of the avodah zarah. This converts to become something. How does it convert? So it's a din hanhoga. It's a din. The Torah says you have a right to act as if there's no isa. You have a right to eat the soup, even though you know that every spoonful of soup that you put in your mouth is going to have a mashu of treifas in it. So that's the din. You have a right to act as if it were kosher, even though you know that there's a mashu of isim. So whenever there's a din hanhage, that's what the Tosefta says, and the Yerushalmi speaks about it, that it's a din that it's only mikana lahabo. A din hanhage only sets in after you know that you have a problem on your hands. What should I do? So then the Torah tells you how to act. If you would be talking about a roiv, and a roiv is mevarer, so a roiv is good, even though yesterday I didn't realize there was a roiv. Today I realized that I have a roiv, let's say Edim. Yesterday I don't know what the facts were. Something, a little flavoring fell into a pot of soup. I don't know if the flavoring is kosher or treif. And then today, or a month later, kosher witnesses come and they tell us that what fell in was kosher. Okay? So that's a birur. So if you have a birur, that's not a din hanhoge. If you have a birur is mevari gloy milsalim afreya, that it was kosher all along. But so if you have edus, you have a birur. If you have a roiv is mevari. But whenever you have a din hanhoge, Torah tells you how to be noig. Torah only tells you how to be noig after you realize the idiyas hatarus, if they realize that you have a problem on your hands. Kozman, you don't realize you have a problem, then there's no, the din hanhoge don't set it. That's a din by bitl beroiv. The Shulchan quotes it by bitl. And there's a thesis in the first parak in Chulin who applies it by chazaka as well. So chazaka is also not a birur. Chazaka can't be a birur. If menatar chazaka works, even when you have a tartar, it's asri. We paskan the shnei shvilin, the two people, both the shol bevasachas. It's only mid the rabbanon that we say that they're both tomei because mechzik chuch biatlula. But if not for that, mikra then we would have said they're both tohar. Why would he say that both Torah Tosis explains and Nida and Chulin? Not because Safik Tumah B'Shur Sarab Misveka Torah. No, it's a Davish Eyev Shalios. It's because of Chazaka. So Chazaka applies. A Din Chazaka is clearly only a Din Hanhaga. It applies even when it's a Davish Eyev Shalios. It's impossible. Torah tells you whenever you're in doubt, you have a right to act according to the way you would have acted before the Safik fell on your lap. So whenever there's a din hanaga, it only applies mikana lahabo after yediyas habaylam. So that's you have to have noida o hataruvis. The people involved know that there is an issue, and they know that there is a taruvis. So there's a big question, what do you mean? Sometimes the Rishonim use a lashon yediyas habaylam, and sometimes they say noida hataruvis. Is it lit? Do you really need yediyas habaylam? Does it depend on the owner of the soup? If the owner is not aware that any treifas fell into. The owner lives in California, and he has a factory in Eretz Yisrael, and he has mashgichim watching. What, they call him up every time they have a shaila. They have to notify the owner of the factory. He lives the other side of the world, and he runs his factory long distance. He's never there. So whenever you want to apply bitl merav, you have to notify the owner, or they say no. You only apply dine hanhage when it's relevant to a Jewish person. Let's say the factory is run by non-Jews. Everything is taken care of by non-Jews, and the Jews are not even aware that there's an issue, that any treifas fell in and is batel b'shishim. So it calls mom that it's not relevant to the non-Jews. The non-Jews are allowed to eat treifas. The only issue of treifas is relevant to Jews. So if you have a goy who happens to know the dinim of batel b'shishim, he can't just say his batel b'shishim. He can go weiter. The treifas that fell in is batel b'shishim. There's no yediyas hatarubi. Yediyas hatarubis means the issue is relevant to us. Whenever the shayla is relevant, it has to be relevant to a Jew who's not allowed to eat treifas. whenever it's relevant, so then the Torah says, yeah, bitl b'shishim, or then the Torah, bitl b'ray, or the Torah says, adin yigo basa chazok. But if there's no yedias hatarubis, so the whole issue is irrelevant. So that's a big question. Do you need literally yedias habaylim, or is enough yedias hatarubis? Take, for example, the following case we mentioned. The din is achomets b'pesach. It's a gemara later, daf lamed amin aleph. The way we have the girsa in the gemara, the chomets that fell into heter on Pesach, the top line on daf lamed amin aleph, omar rabbi hilchas chomets bizmana, chomets that fell into heter on Pesach. Bizmana means not erev Pesach, on Pesach. Bein mimina, bein shelo miminoi, osa b'mashehu. That chomets is b'mashehu midirabbanan. That's the girsa that we have. This is quotes to Rabbeinu Tam, and the Shiltis will have a different girsa. The chometz is not the mashu, but the comments. So we're sometimes mitzarif that if you have additional tzdod melahakel, so a mitzarif the Rabbeinu Tam shita, because we're not so sure what the correct girsa is supposed to be in the Gemara. But the way we have the girsa printed in all the editions of our Gemara, the Gemara Amar Rav, the chometz b'Pesach is b'mashu. What if chometz gets mixed in on erev Pesach in the afternoon? And he said, there is a deed, chametz on our Pesach, but there's no kares. So if the chametz falls in on our Pesach, so then it's a machlokes. And the psak and shulchan aruch is that it is bottle. Chametz that fell in on our Pesach, since it's only mishum chumah de kares. This chumah that Rabbi said chametz be Pesach is b'mashuhu, is because chametz is so chumah that it has kares, but on our Pesach there's no kares, then the din is that it is bottle. It is bottle b'shishim. So let's say a goy has a factory, and a little chametz, he prepares food, kosher lePesach, and a little chametz fell in, and we find out about it on Pesach, and it fell in before Pesach, The chametz kodem at Pesach is b'shishim, it's bottle b'shishim. Even on erev Pesach in the afternoon, it's also bottle b'shishim. But if you cooked it way before erev Pesach, for sure it's bottle b'shishim. According to most of the Rishon, for sure it's batel b'shishim. But the only one who knew about it, the one who knew about it was the goyish owner. The owner of the chametz is a non-Jew. And there's a mashgiach there that I kind of trust the nochri. If they're going to buy his kosher the Pesach soup, they're going to need a mashgiach. But the soup doesn't belong to the mashgiach. The soup belongs to the goy. So some of the Rishonim say b'feirish, when the Jew, if the Jew buys the soup on Pesach, then it's called Yedias HaBailim. So it can't become bottled till after Yedias HaBailim. And since Erev Pesach, the Bailim were non-Jews, so the issue is irrelevant for a non-Jew. Until it comes into the Jewish hands. If it comes into the Jewish hands on Pesach, so then it's b'mashuhu. And that's the commonly accepted psak is not so. Common psak is that even though the owner of the chametz was a nochri before Pesach, but the Jews are aware that there's an issue. So you don't need yedias habaylim, literally the owner of the chametz. You need yedias yehudim. If there's a Jew who is aware of the issue on erev Pesach, before erev Pesach, he can eat all the chametz you want. And erev Pesach in the afternoon, you already have an issue. Are you permitting? You're not allowed to eat chametz min haTorah after chatzais. So you're allowed to eat this soup on erev Pesach in the afternoon. So the answer is the Jews know that there's an issue, and the Jews know that it's batal b'shishim. They know that the shishim is batal. Hi, but the owner of the chametz is a non-Jew. For him, there's no nafkamina. It's not relevant. So we paskin. We assume against that group, a small group of Rishonim, the whole that you need Yedias HaBailim. It's only called Yediyah. It's only the issue is only relevant if the owner of the food is aware that he has a shaila. But if Jews are aware that there's a shaila, so that's the machlokes. That's the machlokes of Rishonim. So that seems to be the machlokes over here between the Shach, the Shem, the Bach, and the Chavos Das, disagreeing with the Shach. The Shach sounds like he's holding like that minority opinion in the Rishonim, that Noida HaTarubis means Yedias HaBailim, that someone else is aware, it has to be the owner of the food is aware, and the owner of the food is Jewish, and he realizes that he has a problem on his hands. So then you can start talking about Dine Hanhoga. But Kolzman, so that's what the Shach says. if the shteka kederis belong to one person, then there's one shaila on both of the kederis. So then you say there's a tata de sasri. You can't be mekel on both, and you can't be mekel arbitrarily on one. But let's say if only one of the two kederis belongs to me, the other kederis doesn't belong to me. And then he said the rabbana fell into one or the other. So as far as I'm concerned, there's only a shaila on my pot. There's no shaila on the other pot. It's not mine. It's none of my business. It doesn't belong to me. There's no idea. There's no idea sasafik. And that's exactly what the Chavis Das disagrees based on a machlekes. The Rashba, he shows that his machlekes with the Shach is really machlekes, the Rashba and the Ramban, whether you need Yediyas HaBalim or not. So I remember about 30 years ago, I spent two summers, not consecutively, with 1 year in between. I spent two summers in Eretz Yisrael in Kiryat Arba, that's near Hebron. As they say, it's a stone's throw from Hebron. So there's a big yeshiva there, Yeshivas Nir. Mr. Nir from Mexico City gave money to build the Hezdi yeshiva, so it's called Yeshivas Nir, Nun Yod Resh. So I gave shiurim there. So one group, they were learning Sanhedrin. They were learning Sanhedrin. In other yeshivas, they learned Sanhedrin because in the first Perek on Sanhedrin, there's a lot of ktsois in the Sivas, a lot of Hilchas Dayanim and Hilchas Eidim. And then later in Sanhedrin, there's a lot of Minchas Chinuch. In Kiryat Arba, they learned Sanhedrin because the second Perek is all about Dine Melech, Malchus Yisrael, a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So they started from the second Perek. They didn't even learn the first pair. When I came, they were already deep into the Masich, the Yorek Vayaba, Dafai and Gimel already. They were learning other things. But they started from the second pair. So I was giving shurim in Sanhedrin. And every couple of years, when I go to the NCSY learning program in the summertime, so there's always a bus driver, there's always someone bumps into me, says, hey, he remembers. He says, in Ivrit, he remembers. He was in Mashiach 30 years ago in Kiryat Arba. He learned in the yeshiva. So there was one group in the yeshiva that was on Yerideya, and they were taking bechinas for the Rabbanut, for smicha. So I said a chiddush in Yerideya, and there was an elderly gentleman there who was older than me at the time. This was 30 years ago. He, after I finished the shiur, he told me he learned by Rav Unterman, who was a chief rabbi after Rabbi Herzog. First was Rav Kook. Rav Kook was a Kohen, then Rav Herzog was a Levi, then Rav Unterman was a Yisrael. Kohen Levi Yisrael. So Rav Unterman had learned by Rav Shimon Shkop in Europe. So he said he learned, I think the name of Rav Unterman's Kohen was Chalkas Mechoykik, if I'm not mistaken. So he said he learned in Chalkas Mechoykik by Rav Unterman. And Rav Unterman said this in the name of Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon Shkop was a Magid Shia for over 50 years. When he was teaching already, he was a Rebbe. He started in his mid-20s. He started giving shurim at Telzer Yeshiva in Europe because his wife's uncle was Rav Lezer Telzer, Rav Lezer Gordon. And when the Talmidim realized that he's almost giving shiur 50 years, so they announced in the newspapers that they're going to put out a Sefer HaYovel in his honor because he's a Rebbe, a Magid Shiur in Yeshiva for 50 years. So they had mamorim, essays, not Divrei Torah. They printed around 100 pages from Rav Shimon Shkop, Divrei Torah. Then they printed essays by all the different Talmidim who learned by Rav Shimon over the 50 years. Some of them are old enough to be grandfathers of the others. My father-in-law learned by Rav Shimon the last years. Rav Unterman learned by Rav Shimon the first years. There were people who learned by him and tells prominent Rabbanim. So they didn't write Divrei Torah. They wrote essays about what the shiur was like and what Rav Shimon was like and what the Balabatim were like and what the yeshiva was like. And it was different in the different communities. It was different. When he was in Telz, it was one. Then he was in other communities. Then he was the last place that he was in Grodno. But he was a First World War, Second World War. He was in different places at different cities at different periods of time. So if you put everything all together, you put it in chronological order, you have a whole history of Reb Shimon Shkop's yeshivas, the way he taught in the yeshivas. So I said a mocker in the Bavli for this din that appears only in Yerideh. They quoted from the Tosefta and from the Rishami. So I gave a mark on the Babli for this thing, that before Yediyah Sataruvis, there's no Bittl, never appears in the Babli. So I showed that there's a machloikes, there are quite a few disagreements between Abai and Rava, two Torah scholars, and they had a lot of machloikes, and usually when they took a vote, so usually the majority of the consensus was like Rava, except for six cases, the Al-Kagam, where we pass on like Abai. Fine. So one of the six cases that we pass on like Abai is Eid Zayman. Machloikes Abai v'Rava, with Eid Zayman l'mafrehu nipsal, Eid Zayman mikana l'habohu nipsal. If you're mazim, two Eidim are mazim, another Eid, so the, it comes out of Gloy Milsom Afred that he gave Eid Sheker. One who gives Eid Sheker is Pasal Eidis. So what about all the weddings that he attended in between? He was an Eid Kiddushin. He signed on Ksubis, he signed on Shtaris. What about does he, be, if we ascertain today, when Mazim him today comes out, that he gave Eid Sheker a month ago, a year ago. So do you say, from the time that he gave Eid Sheker, he's Pasal Eidis? So do you say, no, it's only Mikan al Habo who nipsal. So we pass like Abai that Lamafrehu Nipsal. And Rabbah holds Mikan Lahabahu Nipsal. Why? Why does Rabbah hold only Mikan Lahabahu? What's the logic? We don't pass like Rabbah, but what's the logic for Rabbah? The Gemara has two explanations. The one explanation is that it's only a midirabbanan, that Mikan Lahabahu. Really, Mikar Adin Deraisa, Rabbah agrees, but Abai is really Lamafrehu Nipsal. It's a Gloy Mils Lamafrehu that he gave Eidu Sheker a month ago. So it's so he's puzzled from that time on. All right, and the other explanation, again, we don't pass on like Rava, but the other explanation of Rava is the sense Eid Zayman is a chiddush, because Mikra Din, my chos is the tzais lahani, tzais lahani. It's really trey or trey. It should have been trey or trey. How do you know whether the, how do you know that the second pair of Eidim are telling the truth? Maybe the first pair of Eidim are telling the truth, and the second pair of Eidim are telling a lie. So that's a chiddush. Chiddush means a dover asois eres haklal, an exception to the rule. That's a thesis in the beginning of Yevamos and Dav Zayin. We have a klal dover shei b'chlal v'yotzer lidim v'dover ha-chadosh. V'yotzer yochel achzir l'chlal v'yat she'achzir en ha-kosuv l'chlal v'ferish. When is it called the dover ha-chadosh? The dover ha-chadosh, what's a chidush? A midrash ha-tarin ad-reshes b'em. Chidush doesn't mean a din that I would have never have thought up on my own. That's not a chidush. Chidush means an exception to the rule. Dabar ha-soysos ha-klal. The rule is usually like this, and this is an exception to the rule. So Rabbi says over here, since it's a chiddush that you believe the second cut against the first cut, it's zemim chiddushu, because it should have been my chos, it's the tzai slahani, tzai slahani. So ein lach ba, so therefore we apply the age-old rule that ein lach ba l'mishas chiddusha v'yelach. That's the rule. That's the rule. Where is that rule? Where, that rule appears somewhere else. Where is that rule? The Rav sounds like he's invoking the rule here. And what does Abai hold? Abai holds that it's not a chiddush. So that's what the Tur HaChumash and the Tur HaChoshamish, but writes like that. That's the machlokes Abai v'Rav. Rav holds that Eid Zayman is a chiddush. Abai holds that it's not a chiddush. And then the Tur explains why Abai holds that it's not a chiddush. Okay, gives a whole explanation. So the Nesivus on Chosha Mishpat quotes this from the Tur, that he holds that since we pass on like Abai, this is one of the six cases, Yal Kagam, that the din is like Abai against Rava, that Eid Zayman is l'mafrehu nipsal. So that means that Eid Zayman is not a chiddush, because we can explain logically why we only believe the second pair against the first pair. Fine. So the Nesivus thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that Bein Labai, Bein L'Rava, they both hold that it's a chiddush. So what are they fighting about? So they're fighting whether you have such a klal, Eilach Ba Mishas Chedusha V'Eilach. So Rabbah invented the whole thing. Rabbah invented the klal. According to Abai, there is no such klal. It doesn't sound like it in the Gemara. But the Gemara sounds like Rabbah holds that it's a chiddush, and therefore he invokes a klal that exists in other areas of halacha. Eilach Ba Mishas Chedusha V'Eilach. Where does that halacha apply? So I thought that's exactly what this Yerushalmi is saying. Achidish. The question is, Eid Zayman, Bein Labai, Bein L'Rava. The Nesivus is right. Bein Labai, Bein L'Rava, Eid Zayman should have really been Trey or Trey. My Chazit, the Tzai Slahani, Tzai Slahani. So it's a Chidish that you follow the second Eidim. But the question is, what's the nature of the Chidish? So Abaya holds that the Chiddush is that this, we believe the second pair, we don't believe the first pair. Chiddush is that the second pair have nemanis against the first pair. If you have nemanis, that's a birur. Then it's nizbar. So it's nizbar that the first pair of Edom gave Edus Sheker a month ago. So then they should be pasul Edus lemafreya, because we have the birur that they gave Edus Sheker. That's the nature of the Chiddush. They both agree that it's a Chiddush, but they argue, what's the nature of the Chiddush? So by whom we paskan like holds that the Chiddush, the second cut has nemanis, the first cut does not have nemanis. So nemanis is a birur. So whenever it's a mevurur, so then it works lemafreya. And Rabbi holds, no, it's a Chiddush, but the nature of the Chiddush is that it's a din hanhoge. Like bitl b'raif, bitl, when something is treif, and it's batl b'shishim, or batl b'raif, that's a din hanhoge, that's not a birur. Other Rabbi, I know that every spoon of soup that I put in my mouth is going to have some non-kosher, a mashu of treifis in it. And chatzishir is asman atar, even less than a chatzishir is asman atar. So how can you ever eat any soup if you have a little treifis fell in? How can there be a din of bitla beroy, the bitla b'shishim? If a mashu of treifis is also, you're even an isa if you eat non-kosher food, even less than a shir. So the answer is bitla beroy is a din anhoge. The same thing, chazaka is a din had to be nohig. Chazaka even works by tata de sasri, by the shnei shvilin. Well, the shalba vasachas tais has only a chumim with the rabbanon, because the mechzikil chuch liyatula. If not for that, we would have paskan they're both tahor. I is a dov shi'ef shaliyah. It doesn't matter, because chazaka is a din hanhoge. So whenever there's a din hanhoge, it only works mikana lahabo. That's the rule that Rava was invoking. Eilach ba'el mishas chidusha v'eilach. It does mean chidush. Means whenever there's a din hanhoge, it only applies mikan lahabo after you dia sambailim. After you realize that you have a problem on your hands, then the Torah tells you how to act in a situation where you have such a problem. If there's a chazaka, if there's a din of bitl, or if there's a situation of edim zamim. So that's the whole machlokes abai b'rabba. They both agree edim zamim is a chiddush, that we follow the second pair of edim, but the machlokes is what's the nature of the chiddush. Whereas abai holds that the chiddush is that the second kat have nemanis, the first kat does not have nemanis, and nemanis means that it's nizbarer, that the first kat gave edim shek, and nizbarer, so it's nizbarer l'mafreya. So the Ezamim Mafrehu Nifson. So Rabbi holds not so, that the din is that you follow the second cut, you act in accordance with the second cut, but you really don't know who told the truth. Even though you give the death penalty, you give Malkus, you give Misa, you punish the first cut, still you don't know the facts though. Torah doesn't tell you that we believe the second cut. Torah tells you to be noyig according to the second cut. So if you hold like that, that it's only a din hanhoge, that it only works mikana labo. So this in the Bavli, this is identical with the din of the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta, that in bitula le mishasi dias hatarus. So I was very excited when this elderly gentleman, he was considerably older than me. This was around 30 years ago, and he was around 20 years older than me, or maybe 30 years older than me. He said he heard it from Rav Unterman, who said it, Hashem Rav Shimonchka. So I was excited about that. Anyway, so that seems to be the machlokes over here. The machlokes is the Rashbo and the Ramban, and it's machlokes the Shach and the Chavos Das, how to paskin. When you have the Shtei Kederis and they're both heter, and the Nisa the Rabbana falls in, and you can't be Mekel because of Tata de Sasri. So the Shach holds it's only the both Kederis belong to the same person, but if they belong to two different people, then it's not one big Sofik on both. It's only a Sofik on my pot. I'm not achroy on the other guy's pot. That's not called yediyah satarugas. The bailam of the other pot has to have, so they're not connected with each other. And the Chavos Das holds not so. What do you mean? The Sofik on the other pot is negated to me. Whether I'm not allowed to eat it because it's stealing. It's like sigzal. I can't steal someone else's pot of soup unless he gives me permission. But if he'll give me permission, so there won't be an issue of gzela, will it be kosher or not? So if that's negated to me already now, is it kosher or not?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi mentioned that bitl barov is a hanhaga, but if we learn out bitl barov from acharav lahatos, and acharav lahatos is also mechadesh, a ruba de isa come on, and ruba de lesa come on, and those roves are usually regarded as berurim, how can you have one pasuk teach both two different types of rov, one a hanhaga, one a berur?
Right. So we explained that many different levels of rave. There's a rave of 99.99%. There's a rave of 51%. Rave of 51% is not really a birur. 51 to 49, 50.09 to 49.99, something like that. What do you mean? So that's also, whenever you have a rave garua, that's also just a din hanhoga. That's how Tosis interpreted the whole Gemara here. Gemara calls it ein sofik moitzi midei vadai. So Tosis says what it means was that we spent time on that already. What it means is a ruba v'chazoka, ruba odif. Whenever there's a conflict, you have a situation. So the rov tells you in one direction, the chazaka tells you in the other direction. So that's a machleg. So may the rabban, so may holds ruba v'chazoka shkulim. So you treat them equally, and it's a suffix. And we don't pass like Rav Meir. We pass Ruba v'chazok Ruba Adif. Why? So the Pnei Shu and Ksubis and the Kuntri Sacharin and Daftes explains that the Kuntri Sacharin is, he gave Shurim for a whole year, and then he did Chazar. So in the Chazar, sometimes he tied up loose ends, and he gave additional Shurim. So that's in the Kuntri Sacharin. So he explains that Ruba v'chazok Ruba Adif, because Rav is a Birur, and Chazok is only a Din Hanhoket. So the dina hanhaga only apply when you don't know the facts of the case. Then the Torah tells you how to be nohag. But if you have a rife, so the rife tells you it's mevara the facts of the case. So then you say ruba v'chazaka ruba adiv, because the dina hanhaga don't apply if you're mevara the facts of the case contradict the chazak. But that's only by medvar mamorim. If you have a rife bari, a rife of 85% or above, something like that. But if you have a rife garua, a rife of 51% against 49%. So that's what Tosis hold. That's not a birur. That's a din hanhoge. The same pasuk that says acharam lahat is contained within it two raves, a rave bari and a rave garua. So rave garua is only a din hanhoge. So then you say ruba v'chazaka ashkulim. So you learn it out. You learn it out from the same pasuk. Nachon, you learn it out from the same pasuk. The rave is both a din hanhoge and a birur. Yeah. Then we had a machlokes hatanaim, Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was the father of Rebbe. He often disagrees with his own father. They quote this in Yeridaya. There's a din of Kibra Aviyem and a din of Mora Aviyem. So Mora Aviyem is ain't a source of his dvar. You're not allowed to contradict your father. So how does Rebbe disagree so often with his father, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? He's in violation of ain't a source of his dvar. So they say, no, this whole din, ain't a source of his dvar of, only applies when it's irrelevant. My father tells me that he has arthritis, and he tells me based on his arthritis, it's not gonna snow on Wednesday. So I'm gonna contradict him and say, Dad, but they predict a snowstorm on Wednesday. What are you talking about your arthritis? So don't contradict them. What's an afkamina where it is gonna snow? So your father stays home anyway. He's not going in the street. He's not gonna go without the boots. If he's going to see that, it does. It wear boots. So, but let's say my father's very influential and he's convincing everybody to vote for a certain, there's a presidential election, and my father has this bug in his head, we have to vote for whoever. This candidate against the other candidate, it's absolutely terrible. I think it's wrong. So then I'm afraid a lot of people are going to vote for the wrong candidate. So I have to contradict my father. Or my father paskins a din in halacha, and I think that it's wrong. So I have to, whatever it's nagir la'alocha, then there's no din of keep it up. Then I have to disagree. But whatever, it's irrelevant. He's going to tell me, he's going to predict what's going to happen tomorrow. So let him predict. So don't contradict him. What's an afkamina? Let him predict what he thinks is going to happen. That's a violation of my rabbi. So that's why very often Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe will disagree with his father, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Okay. So here they have a machlokes. What are they fighting about? Sodush, around 10 lines from the bottom of Yudam and Aleph. Sodush and Eved Bokever, that's called the Beis HaPras. We know that someone was once buried here 100 years ago. It's a big field, we don't know, in northeast corner, northwest corner, southeast corner, southwest corner, the middle of the field. A big field that we don't know exactly where the person was buried. Sodush and Eved Bokever, so that's a dinner Beis HaPras. And then, so whoever goes there is Tommy. And then they dig and they find a kever, nimtzuba kever. Then they find a kever. So do you have the right to assume, put two and two together, you assume that this is the kever, who kever sho'ovad, who kever ha-nimtzuba. Nimtzuba kever, ha-nichz tochatosh, ha-nyam, kever sho'ovad, the grave that got lost. We don't remember. He was buried there 100 years ago, and there's nobody alive who remembers where we buried him. So do we have the right to assume kevesh avahu, kevesh nimtza, or not? That's machlokes Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why does Rebbe hold kevesh avahu, kevesh nimtza? That's a din chazake. Let's say I left the sefer on my desk in the Beis Medrash. I left the Gemara Pesachim on my desk. I come tomorrow morning, and it looks like my Gemara Pesachim. So do I have to be mesupik? Do I have to open it up to check that it's the Gemara Pesachim? No, I left it yesterday. Maybe someone switched it. Maybe someone took away the Gemara Pesachim and put a Gemara Chulin instead. So I'm going to take the Gemara and give a shiur. So do I have to check the Gemara to make sure that it's a Pesachim? I have the right to assume that yesterday when I put it, it was a Pesachim, and today it's on my shtender. I have the right to assume that it's the same. It didn't change. So that's a din chazake. I left the Gemara Pesachim yesterday, and I find the Gemara in the same place where I left it. So over here, we have a field, and we know that somewhere in this field, there's a grave. We don't know where the grave is. And then we dug, and we found the grave. We don't know, is this the grave? We know we have a tradition that over 100 years ago, so-and-so was buried in this field. We don't know exactly where. And now we find a body buried. We don't know if that's so-and-so. Maybe this is a different person. Maybe so-and-so is buried in a different location. But we only have a tradition that there's one person buried. We didn't hear that there's more than one person. So Rebbe holds that's also called the chazok. And Rebbe Shimon Gamliel disagrees. No, the body kola sore kulo. That's not called the chazok. Or the same thing. So we assume like Rebbe that that's called the Hazok. We assume kevesh nimtza hu kevesh ova. It's the same one. So that's what we ask the question. So why, let's say, a woman is married and her husband is missing, missing for a long time. So the poor woman is an aguna. She has no husband. She can't be married. You don't have the husband alive. But then you find a dead body, a male dead body, in the forest, and you have no way to identify whether this is her husband or not. And we haven't heard that anybody else is missing. This is the only person that we heard from the whole neighborhood is missing. So we don't have the right to assume who may shab and who the male who got lost, her husband was a male. And they got, if you find a female body, so obviously it's not her husband. But if you find a male body, do you have the right to assume the chazakah? The one who, the missing husband, and here I found a missing, here I found the person who's dead. So they have the right to say, put two and two together and assume that that's the dead, that that's her husband and she's allowed to be married. So we assume not so. We assume you need simonim. So why don't you say like Rebbe, who saw the, who kevesh nimtza, who kevesh avad? I don't know. You have to give a distinction. I don't think it's only a chumra. It's a maker, and then you have to have simanim. Without simanim, doesn't work. Why don't you say that that's chazaka? Yeah. And then the Gemara has also a machlek satanaim. A person left $100 of most maishusheni. Money doesn't grow on the trees, but it means maishusheni. In Eretz Yisrael, whatever grows from the ground, you have to be mafresh, trumas and maishus. So it depends what Shemitah year it is. So if it's the first year, the second year, so you mafish chumah gedolah, ma'aseh rishon, then ma'aseh sheni. Ma'aseh sheni you have to bring to Yerushalayim and eat it, the kedusha v'tahara. The third year, instead of ma'aseh sheni, mafish ma'aseh rani. Then the fourth year and the fifth years are a repeat of the first 2 years, and the sixth year is a repeat of the third year, and the seventh year, everything is hefka, so you're not mafish, you're not mechiv to mafish any chumah and ma'aseh at all. So the ma'aseh sheni, it says in the Chumash, if you had a bountiful year, so much grew from the ground that there's so much, there are tons and tons of ma'aseh sheni, so it'll be prohibitive to transport everything to Yerushalayim to eat it. And let's say he can't eat so many oranges, he'll get sick. He can't eat so many apples. He has tons and tons of apples, tons and tons of oranges. So it's not shaykh that he should eat all of that in Yerushalayim. So he should be paid in the ma'aseh sheni. So if he's paid himself, he gives the value. If someone else is paid, he gives the value and he adds on chaimish. He adds on another 25%. Let's say if it's worth $400, so he has to be ma'aseh chaimish, add another $100. Chaimish means after you add it on, that what you added on is 1/5 of the whole thing. By us, we would have said you add on 25%, not 20%. Means after you add it on, it's a chemish of the sum total, $100. $200 is a $100 is a chemish of the $500. Okay. So the shayla is like this: the fella had $10 of mois, Meister Sheni, means he was paid the Meister Sheni on the money, and he has the cash. So he has $10 worth of Meister Sheni. He goes away from his house, and then he comes back, and he finds instead of 10 single dollars, he finds 9 single dollars, or he finds 20 single dollars. So do you have the right to assume that I left $10 single dollars on my Sheni, now I come back and I find 9, so the 9 that I found are identical, 9 out of the 10 that I left, all the 9 on my Sheni, and someone walked off with $1. Or do you have the, or should you assume, no, I left 10 and I find 9. That's not, I don't say the Moshe Nimtzahu Moshe Ovad. If it's a different amount, if it's the same amount, I left $10 in the drawer a week ago. And the $10 cash, the 10 singles that I put in the drawer, singles, I'm talking about paper money. The meaning is that the common practice is you're not paid the Moshe Sheni on paper money. The Pesachet Shuva quotes from the Chasam Sefer. Chasam Sefer came up with a Chiddush that maybe paper money is considered shtoris. Maybe it's not considered a kesef. Kesef means legal tender, recognized by the government as legal tender. You have to have a legitimate government. And the Turkarta, the loonies, don't believe in the Medina, so they can't use Israeli coins because they hold that they keep on saying that all the whole government and Eretz are a bunch of pirates. The Russian government were not pirates. The communists, they were not pirates. And the British government, not pirates. And the Polish government, and only the Jewish government, and I said, they're the biggest government in the world, and they you shouldn't be recognized as them. So little loony. So a lot of loony. They're going to have them in every government. There are people, whenever there's money, there are going to be people who are going to come and steal as much money as they can do now. Now with the COVID, they're going to be stealing They expect a lot of gnevis and a lot of gnevis shishtik. Unfortunately, that's human beings are like that. So if you don't recognize the Israeli government, so you can't use Israeli money to be paid in Meister Sheni. So they follow the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says he paid the Meister Sheni on a shilling, but the Chazon Ish wrote the sefer before 1948. Of course, you paid on a shilling because the government at that time was the British government. So the shilling was the matbea hayotze be'osam aduna. Today, if for those who don't recognize the government, they all that they're a bunch of pirates. So you can't use Israeli money. So they still use British money. British money. The British declare that it's not under their jurisdiction. So that's shavu kesef. The British money, American money is also questionable. American money is probably also not sponsored by the Israeli government. So it's probably also shavu kesef. It's not kesef. Kesef has to be recognized as a legal tender by the government in that country. When you learn the end of Chosha Mishpat, there is a simon about how far you go with the rules of Dina de Machusa Dina. What's included in Dina Machusa, what's not. So there's a shach in Yerideya, in Hilchus Ribbis, of all places, where the shach writes, there's one din that everybody agrees depends on Dina Machusa. What's considered kesef as opposed to shavu kesef? Kesef has to be recognized by the government of that country. It has to be legal tender, recognized by the government of that country. So again, so I'm giving a marshal that the person was paid the Meister Sheni on 10 single dollar bills. Maybe it's a bad marshal because the common practice is to be machmer for that chasam sefer as tshuva, that paper money doesn't count as kesef, even though it says on it that it's legal tender, he holds that that's not. It has to be dafka matbeis. It has to be coins. It's a question, why? What's the logic behind it? And many disagreed with the Chasam Sefer. Okay. So here there's a machlokes hatanoim. The fellow left in the drawer. He left 10 coins, let's say. He left 10 silver dollars or whatever. Money that adds up to $10 worth of mois Meister Sheni. Then he comes back, he doesn't find that amount of money. He finds more, he finds less. So one Tana holds, that's chazoke, kanimtze kanhoya. This, if I find $9 worth of coins, it's 9 out of the $10 that I left, so all of it is Meister Sheni. If I'll find $20 worth of coins, I have the right to, I should assume that $10 out of $20 is my sasheni, because all based on chazaka. And the other Tana says no, but it's switched. It's $9 instead of $10. It's $20 instead of $10. That's you don't apply chazaka in such a situation. But that's a shaila, how far you go with the chazaka. Then just to conclude the topic, there's an important rivet on the bottom of the page of the Rif. Hasogas on the Rif, and he has Hasogas on the Balamor, his Chavrusa. The Hasogas on the Rif, though, begin in Ksubas, in the fourth parak. So over here, it's not the Hasogas on the Rif, it's the Hasogas on the Balamor. We usually call that Seif Kosov Shom. Paragraph begins with the two words Kosov Sham. My dear Chavrusa, Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi, wrote in his paper, he has the following tine against the Riv, and he says that he's wrong. He gives a Hasoga. So in the right on the bottom of the page here, he develops an idea that is discussed in Yerodea. Shach quotes in Shulchan Aruch, it's not Machlek is the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. In the dark, the Ramon in the Yerodea doesn't say. Machlek is the Beis Yosef in the dark image. One suffix was no at 9 o'clock in the morning. Something happened. So let's say sefer deraisa lechumra, we would have gone lechumra. Or the rabbi happens to be talking about bedikas chametz. He goes with his unique shita that since bedikas chametz was niskan in the first place on a suffix, so even though bedikas chametz only the rabbanon, Tosis was bothered. That case is Sufik Daraisa, because Chams only the Rabban. So Tosis came up with an idea that maybe because Chams is Daraisa, calls Manshalor detail. Because Chametz is the rice. And in Hilchos Pesach, they quote that opinion. The Magen Avraham explains the Machaber based on this idea. That maybe that should be the accepted opinion. That because Chametz may be a chiv the rice, it calls Manshul Abitel. So so that's Tosfos says like that. The reason why the Gemara says Sofik B'dikas Chametz L'chomer, because B'dikas Chametz is the rice, it calls Manshul Abitel. And the Ravid gives a different explanation. The Ravid on the bottom of the Rif, the Hasogas on the Balamor, he writes, since the B'dikas Chometz was instituted in the first place, by Mokam Sofik, so you can't say Sofik Rabban Lekula. Then you'll do away with the whole need for B'dikas Chometz. It's always a Sofik. Maybe there's no Chometz, just it's a Mokam, and maybe Machnisim HaChometz. Mokam Shemachnisim HaChometz means that there's a possibility. There's a reasonable possibility that machnis, it's not about dois that machnis marchamet. That's only a suffix, it's still yemuchayiv to be bodik. So any suffix in bedikas chametz, you would go lechumra. So let's say, but if you have a sfeik sveike, then you would go lekula. So the rabbi writes, that's only when you have yedias ha-suffix, when you have yedias ha-tarik, when you realize that you have a suffix on your hands, so that's when you determine the Yavis Svek Svek or not. So let's say 9 o'clock in the morning, I realize the situation is such, I have one Sufik. And then you say Sufik Deraisa Luchumra, or it's B'dikas Chametz, and you say, even though B'dikas Chametz only the Rabbanon, they were Misakin and Allah Sufik, so Sufik B'dikas Chametz Luchumra. Then something happens at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that makes it into a Svek Svek. An animal runs in, and maybe the animal ate up the chametz. Maybe there's no chametz there in the first place. Maybe an animal ate up the chametz in the afternoon. So since the shnei hasveik is lo nolde bevasachas, the second chametz, the first chametz, the first suffix was noilad 9 o'clock in the morning. Second suffix, later suffix means idias suffix. When you become aware that you have an issue on your hands. So if the later suffix, the idias suffix, arishim was 9 in the morning, and the Diyas HaSofik HaSheni is only at 4 in the afternoon, so lo no do shtei HaSveikas b'vasachas, Then the Ravid says we had to be machmer already 9 o'clock in the morning. We had to go to chumer. The Ravid always get paskan the chumer. So then you have no right to be mitzaref the second suffix. That the latest suffix was the ideas suffix was 4 p.m. Can't be mitzaref to the first suffix because the first suffix we already were machri al chumer on that. But if it would have been no d'shteh svekas v'asachas, then you would have said svek svek al kula. So Rav said, even though that's the Beis Yosef's opinion, and the Ramon, the Darka Moshe, disagrees, so nonetheless, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that he has a tradition from his father that you can be maker like the Beis Yosef. That if you have the, if you have a Sofik Echad, the cases, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a Sofik Echad, Beguf of Sechek, Sofik Echad, Bitarubis, that doesn't qualify as a Sveika. What if the two Sveikas were Noldub of Asachas? So then even though the Ramon, the Darka Moshe, says that it's not acceptable, Rav Soloveitchik said his father told them that he could be Mekel. He said in the slaughterhouse, it happens all the time. Slaughterhouse happens. They shech so many animals, and they have no time. They're not going to waste time to be Boidik the Reya to see, can you remove all the sirchas on the Reya? Can you not? So they ask it. Whenever there's a little sirchas on the Asa, everything, because they have, it costs money. Time is valuable. So they're not going to waste time checking for the sircha. So they treat it as if it's a sofik treif. And then later on, you have a sofik betarubis. So if the two svekas were nolded the bevasachas, you become aware of both bevasachas, that one of the animals had a sofik treifis, and now it's a sofik ech begufa, a sofik ech betarubis. Rav Soloveitchik heard from his father, he can be mekel on that. Many are mekel on that. So that's that idea appears in the Ravid on our page, that you have to, by svek svek, you have to have noldu shnei svekas b'vasachas. If the two svekas were noldu b'zachazeh, shelo b'vasachas, so then you're ready paskin on the first one, l'chumra. So then now you can't be mitzarefit l'hokel with the second suffix. Okay. We spent enough time on that daf. It's important dinim. They're all important dinim. Okay, then the second perek. We skip to the second perek. Second perek is assuming a davar pashut that chometz belongs to the category of macholos asuras at arasa b'hano. Not only suri achila arasa b'hano, nevela treif echela v'dam are muta b'hano, and ev menachai is muta b'hano. What else? And truma is muta b'hano. Aye, but you're not allowed to feed truma to your behema. Kadesh is tehei behemto achelus. You see from the Gemara, but you're not allowed to feed tevel. You're not allowed to feed tevel to a behema. You're not allowed to feed truma to a behema. Why? What's lifneiva? The behema is not the Jewish. What's wrong? And truma is mutabano, and tevel is mutabano. The answer is, if it's hanor shel kilui, then it's not allowed. So hanor shel kilui by tevel. That's a big question. Is that the Raisa or the Rabbon? Hanor shel kilui by Truma, we assume that is the Raisa. That if I'm going to take Truma and give it to a behemoth to eat, so Yemavatel et mimitzvasa, that for sure is awesome. But the question is, what about Tevel? So we say Tevel is muta b'hano. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Tevel is muta b'hano. But Hanor shel kilui is aser. Why? Because Yemavatel is from the mitzvah of Hafrosha. Tevel is Zaymid Lemitzvasa to be Mafresh the Trumas and Maisus. So that the Mishlam Melech has, that's a big Machloikis Harishanim. Whether the Easter and the Mishnah assumes it doesn't work. But another two dafim from here, around 20 lines at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amin Allah, Tamei Alat Smecho, how can you say such a thing? Rabbi Yitzhak Lili says, Echametz Asmano Kalshir, how can you say such a wild idea? Basa B'chalav Osev never says explicitly whether Basa B'chalav is Asmano. So that's a machleke satanan in the end of Perek Kolabasa. We pass Halacha that Basa B'chalav deraisa is Asmano, Basa B'chalav derabanan is muta b'hano, but there was a Tana who was of the opinion that all basa b'chalav is muta b'hano. where do you have this long discussion, which machlokas asuras harasavana, which amuta b'ano? You find it at the end of all places, the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. What's it doing there? Because if you're mekadesh an isha but isure hanoa, then she's any mekadeshes. So the Mishnah gives you a full list of all of the isure hanoa. Then the Gemara there quotes all the sources from the Chumash. How do you know that all these things are rasavana? So basa b'chalav is a machlokas satanan. The accepted psaki that basa b'chalav deraisa is rasavana. Only chicken with milk is only basa b'chalav derabanan. So that we paskin is muta b'hanoa muta b'bishol. Rav Soloveitchik said he once got a shaila. There was a Jewish man was drafted into the American army, and he saw that he apparently he's not material to send to the front to shoot. So he was in charge of cooking the food in the kitchen. He was the chef in the kitchen. So they wanted him to cook basa b'cholov. So he didn't know if you're allowed to cook basa b'cholov. So Rav Soloveitchik said he told them that if it's chicken and butter that you're allowed to do, because that's only basa b'cholov d'rabanan. The basa b'cholov d'rabanan is muta b'dishon muta b'ano, it says in Yerideh. But if it's flesh and butter, flesh and meat and milk, or meat and butter, so that's basa b'cholov d'araisa. The basa b'cholov d'araisa is also all things, all three. Asa b'achila, asa b'ano, and asa b'dishon. So chametz is a machlok is hatana. And we pass on chametz, but Pesach is asa b'ano. Fine. Yeah. How far? Yeah. So the Rabbanan, they made Xere that after Chatzos and our Pesach, Basa B'cholov is also B'achila Menatur and also B'hanua. And then with the Rabbanan, they said it's even also an hour before Chatzos, so that they asked 2 hours before. So that's a machlokes between Rameir and Abiyudah. So usually Rameir and Abiyudah, Allah like Abiyudah. Usually when there's machlokes, Rameir and Abiyudah, pass like Abiyudah. Here also, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Rabbanon, that you're not allowed to eat chametz on Erev Pesach, goes even 2 hours before Chatzot. Isa Hanor mid Rabbanon begins 1 hour before Chatzot. Isa Achila begins 2 hours before Chatzot. Hanor only begins an hour before Chatzot. Isa Achila also only begins an hour before Chatzot. Enough if you're machmer 1 hour before Chatzot. And then the Mishnah ends with the machlokes of Yehuda and Chacham, how is one of the fulfillment of the mitzvah? Ah, in Beir Chametz, I feel the mitzvah of Tashbis, so destroying the Chametz Bisreifa. Use any other method of destruction, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. Or do you say, no, Hashbisasim Choldom? So that was the machlokes of Yehuda and Chacham. Yehuda holds in Beir Chametz, I'll Bisreifa. How do we paskin? So Rav HaRishonim say, Yochid v'Rabim Malachi k'Rabim, we should not paskin like Rav Yehuda. But Tosfos quotes the Ri that l'chayre the din seems to be that the din seems to be like Rav Yehuda. Where was that Tosfos? I think we just had it on Chav Zayin on the base. Yeah, Chav Zayin on the base. Tosfos the Maras ain beir cham the besreif and near the halachic Rav Yehuda. The Sosom Lantana Kabosa, the Perak Basra, the Tmura. The end of Tmura, the Mishnah divides all the Yisra'an into two categories, which on Israf and which on Igbarim. Which of them is that it's with the burn and which of them just have. So Taisus thinks the din should be like Rav Yehuda, because Alachik is a Mishnah, the Samishnah and Tmura is like Rav Yehuda. And most of the Rishonim think not so. So that's why Lachatchila. We do Sreifa. Yeah, so that's the Machlokes HaTanoim and the Mishnah. Then the Gemara said, the Mishnah is written in such a funny way, it doesn't sound normal. It says, Kol Shor Shemut Alechem Machel Lebeima L'chayev Le'ofis. Kol Zman is Muta Bachil, it's Muta Bahano. And when it becomes Asa Bachil, it's Asa Bahano. Of Zmanoi, Asa Bahano, Asa, yeah. So that's against Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin that the second hour before Chatzos, let's say for argument's sake, Chatzos would be 12 o'clock on Erev Pesach. So Asa Bano is starting from 11 o'clock and Asa Bachila starts from 10. So from 10 to 11, it's Asa Bachila and Muta Bano. And at 11, it becomes Asa Bachila and Asa Bano mid the Rabbanon. So the Mishnah seems to contradict that. It says, calls kol shel shemuta lecho, whenever it's muta for you to eat, machal abeim, you're allowed to feed it to the animals. But the second hour before chatzais, it's also bachil and it's muta bahanor. So the Gemara says, maybe the Mishnah goes like the Tana, Rabbi Gamliel. What did he have to say? What does Rabbi Gamliel say? That they made Xerah the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat chulin 2 hours before chatzos. But truma, there's a dinner mishmeres truma. I say, you're not allowed to throw truma, you're not allowed to burn truma unnecessarily. There's always a dinner baltashchis, you're not allowed to burn anything unnecessarily. But let's say you have food that ben kovakol, you're not going to eat it. You know, let's say it's contaminated food, whatever, someone has COVID, and he's not going to eat it. Let's say he died. He just died. So no one else is going to eat his food. So if you're not going to eat it, so there's no baltashchis. Nobody can eat it anyway. Or let's say I left over some vegetables today. How can I eat so much? I'm going to platz. There's baltashchis de gufe, the Gemara says. Years ago, when I was a little boy, so the mothers always said baltashchis. They insisted you have to eat everything on the plate. So the Gemara has a concept. There's one baltashchis on the food, but there's baltashchis on my body. I'm going to eat so much, I'm going to get fat, I'm not hungry. So it's baltashchis the gufe odif. It's mochomer. Baltashchis on my body is mochomer than the baltashchis on the food. So let's say I have leftover vegetables. So what, I'm going to put it away in the refrigerator. I'm going to eat it tomorrow. My mother's going to make new vegetables tomorrow. My wife is going to make new. She's not going to give me the leftover. She's not going to give me a leftover. So even though it's not spoiled and it's edible, but there's no baltashchis if you throw it out because no one's going to eat it unless it's perishvias. Perishvias, peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, have a kedusha. And what is the nature of the kedusha? What are the special dinim? Whenever something has kedusha, so it has special dinim. Kohanim have more kedusha than everybody else, and they have special dinim. Only they can eat truma. Only they can be makor karbonis. Levim have more kedusha than everybody else because only they can do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, the Shir Halevim, and so on. So Eretz Yisrael has kedusha that you have to observe all the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz. Whenever you say truma has kedusha, it means you can't eat it betuma. You have to be careful not to let it become tamim mishmeres trumaisa. So whenever you say something has kedusha, it means that it's relevant halacha lamaisa. Relevant halacha lamaisa. So what's the relevance of kedushas perish shviyas? So the answer is one word in the chumash. Oysa shabbos hatzlachem leochla. So Gemara learns everything out from the word leochla. Leochla v'lo lehefsid. You're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. And even though I'm going to put it in the refrigerator. I'm not going to eat it tomorrow. They're going to give me new fresh vegetables tomorrow. I'm going to cook new stuff tomorrow. So what am I going to put it in the refrigerator for? So even though there's no baltashchis all year long, there's no baltashchis and whatever, you're not going to eat it anyway. Let's say in a restaurant, everybody, the restaurant gives you so much food, it's not shach to eat all that food. Because they can charge you more money. They make more money if they give you a bigger piece of food. And then you leave the leftover food, what are they going to put in the refrigerator? They're going to give it to the next customer. The next customer doesn't want to eat my shiraim. Doesn't want to eat my leftovers. They throw it in the garbage. They feed it to the animals or whatever. Okay. But there's no baltashchis on there because no one's going to eat it anyway. But if it's perishvias, if it's fruits or vegetables from Shemitah, then they're not allowed to throw it in the garbage to ruin it. Even though there's no baltashchis, that's the din liochla v'lola hefsit. You're not mechuyev to preserve it, to put it in the freezer, to keep it as long as possible, but you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. You have to put it in a container. You're not mechuyev to put it in the refrigerator to extend its life. No mitzvah to extend the life of the vegetables that no one's going to eat anyway. But you're not allowed to throw it in the regular garbage until it's nifsa me'achila. If you leave it out long enough till it becomes spoiled, okay, so then you can throw it out in the regular garbage. So Rabbi Gamliel says that's by truma also, there's such a din. Mishmeres truma, he said. You have to be mishamer the truma that it shouldn't become tameh. And it shouldn't get ruined. Mishmeres truma, he said. So what are you going to make? A chumra mid the rabbanim. And atur the chametz on the aser, erev pesach efta chatzos. And mid the rabbanim, they asked even 2 hours before Chatzos. So that's a whopper of a chumrah. They also 1 hour before Chatzos, bein b'achila, bein b'hanor, Because in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't. Not everybody had a watch, and many people didn't have a clock, so they didn't know exactly what time it was. So it would be common for people to be off an hour. Today, it's very uncommon that people should be off for so long. If we'll have a bezin today, Mistama, they'll change all the dinim. The Rosh Hashanah says they changed the dinim in the days of the Tanaim also. He thinks that originally, when witnesses testify that someone bought a house or someone did an aver or whatever, so yes, can base and welcome the base as man. What time did it happen? What day of the week, and what time in the day? So the Rosh Hashanah writes, he thinks in the earlier years they only asked Ezeshah means was it in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night, but they didn't ask Ezeshah what hour. How are the people going to know what hour? Later, after it became more popular to have sundials, so a lot of people knew based on the sundial approximately what time it was. Can't really know so well what time it is. So then they asked, Beis Hashem, within the range of 2 hours. Maybe today that most people have watches, and those who don't have a watch, but there's always a clock hanging on the wall so they can know what time it is. So if there would be a din Torah today, they would probably ask Beis Hashem, who would want to know better, not within an hour. We would probably insist that we want better information like that. The A's are sure. So Rabbi Gamliel says like this, the Gzeira de Rabbanan that Yenala, Chomitz Zosa Bachil Banua, 1 hour before Chatzos. Let's say if argument said Chatzos is 12 o'clock, so Chomitz Zosa Bachil Banua, but the Rabbanan from 11 o'clock. So that even applies to Truma. But to say that it's Osa Bachil Muta Banua from 10 o'clock, the extra hour before, that's a Gzeira already. That's a Gzeira le Gzeira. We didn't ask about no, we only ask about chilo. So that's already, that's too much. So that, if you'll apply that gezeira to truma, that'll be a violation of Mishmeres truma. So that's not right. So that's what he was of the opinion, that even though there is such a gezeira, the Rabbanim, that you're not allowed to eat chometz from shor chamishis, from 10 o'clock on, from 11 to 12, it's ask about chilo b'ano, because they were chosh adim to ha-shachas. But from 10 to 11, it's only us, Bachila Mutmana, it's Exera de Rabbanon. So the Rambam writes that there's a difference, that if a person eats chometz after Chatzais, the Rambam passes chometz after Chatzais, there's a lav. The Raivin and other Rishonim ask, why should there be a lav? That was Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. That's on Chav Chesen days. We discussed already. The Gemara said, Chav Chesen days, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds a chometz she'ovar ala Pesach is an Issa de Raisa. Chometz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos is an Nisa Lav deraisa, not just the Nisa Raseh of Tashbisu, it's an Nisa Lav. Whoever eats the Chometz gets Malkus. Why? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it says there are three psukim that say you're not allowed to eat Chometz. One goes on Pesach, one goes Chometz. She'ova Oloa Pesach is an Nisa Lav deraisa. We don't pass like that. We pass in the Chometz Shavaloa Pesach is only a Knas Midirabbanon. Therefore, it's only us of Chemtzo Shal Israel. Sha'ava all about Pesach. If a Jew violated by Yuva by Matzah, Chemtzel Shal Nochri, Sha'ava all about Pesach, nobody violated anything, so that'll be mutter. Rabbi Yehuda holds not so. In the Chomet Shal Nochri, Sha'ava all about Pesach. He said there, I said. So again, so the Ramam, so the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Achav Chesam Begumar, said there are three psukim that say, they're not allowed to eat Chomet. So Rabbi Yehuda holds one pasuk goes Chomet Bid Pesach. If you eat chametz with Pesach, this chorus, one pasuk goes on chametz she'over all about Pesach, even chametz shal nochri, she'over all about Pesach, called benisa deraisa. It's not a penalty in the rabbanon. And chametz on erev Pesach after Chatzos is alav, so whoever eats it will be like. And the pashta says we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like Reb Shimon. The chametz she'over all about Pesach is only a penalty in the rabbanon because he violated by Yehuda by Matz. And chametz on erev Pesach in the afternoon is awesome in Atayra. But based on Tashbisa, only an essay, we assume that there is no lav. That's the Pashta. So the Rambam stands out. The Rambam made a compromise in Psak. He passed Chomet she'over all about Pesach is only a penalty with the Rabbanan, like Reb Shimon, so it's only Chemtzel Shal Israel. Chemtzel Shal Nochri she'over all about Pesach, they never asked it. Because the lav of not eating chametz only applies when I taught the chametz bit Pesach, doesn't go on Erev Pesach. And then the Rambam says, but on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the Rambam does pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that whoever eats chametz is loike, there is a lav. He split the psak. He holds that the Gemara says that on Chof Chesem and Beis, the three psukim where it says not to eat chametz. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that all three refer to Pesach. One goes on Pesach, one goes chamisha oval about Pesach, one goes chametz and erev Pesach. After Chatzai said there's a lav. So the Rambam Paskin, chametz all about Pesach is only the Rabbanan. There's no lav. But chametz and erev Pesach after Chatzai, there is a lav. That's what the Ravid and the Ramban are masig on the Rambam. The Sefer HaMitzvos, he has like that also. Ramban is masig there, and the Ravid is masig in the Hasogas. Where did the Rambam get that compromise from? That on Erev Pesach in the afternoon after Chatzais, he paskin that there's a lav there, I said, like Rabbi Yehuda. For Chamisha over all of our Pesach, that he paskin like Rabbi Shimon. It's a compromise. It's based on the reading of the Mishnayos, but they're based on the Gemara Chof Chesem Reis. There never was a Tana who said like that. So that's a problematic Rambam. That is a problematic Rambam. Anyway, so the Rambam had a distinction. The Rambam says if a person eats chametz b'shoah shishis between 11 and 12, he's like a makas mardis. Why doesn't he say if he eats chametz from 10 o'clock on, he should be like a makas mardis? The answer is, from 10 o'clock on is not kain deraisim. So, Agzera bi alma. If it would be kain deraisim, they would have asked bachila bahano. From 11 to 12, they asked bachila bahano. That's like Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So they're afraid people won't know exactly when Chatzos is. So they asked Erev Pesach from the beginning of Shor Shishis, the Chometz is considered awesome in the Rabbanim. So whoever eats it gets makas mardes rabbanan. But if you eat chametz b'shoah chamishis between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, that's a gzeira. That's not the same. It's not even with the rabbanan considered like eating chametz b'pesach. So that the Rambam would not say that you're like a makas mardes. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel says over here. Rabbi Gamliel says it makes sense that chachamim should aser chametz shel truma on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, it's an Issa Deraisa, and even Shor Shishis, the last hour, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the morning, the hour before Chatzos, so that's, even Chomet Shal Truma is also Aser Midirabban. But Bishor Chamishis, between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, it's only Aser Bachila Mutabanos, it's not really, it's like a new Gzeira. So Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion. They never made that gzerah with respect to truma, because truma there's a mitzvah, a mishmeres trumaisai. Mishmeres means to be careful, to be mishamer the truma, that it shouldn't become tome. Mishmeres trumaisai. And shouldn't become ruined, shouldn't get spoiled. Yeah. The Gemara, the Machlag Sabun and Rabbana, but Aim Biachomis al Bisrafa Haj Basasa Bahaldova. The Mishnah there in the end of Tamura, what daf was it? Taisis tells you what daf is. Lamigim alaman base. Again, Taisis says Lamigim alaman base. So the Mishnah says Kolan is Rafin Afra Mutter, Kolan Igbarim Afra Nosa. If you have Basa Bahaldov, or you have if you have nevelut treif is mutaba, no, that's a double portion like that. But if you have other isuri hanor that are not min hanisrafim, like basa b'cholav shanisko, there's no mitzvah to burn it. So the Mishnah says, even if you will burn it and it turns to ashes, once it's asa b'hanor, it remains asa b'hanor. Even if you burnt it and it turned into ashes, hanigbarim, if it belongs to the list, belongs to the category of prohibited macholos asuris. That's also b'ano. So if you burn it, the ashes will be also b'ano as well. But if it's min anisrafim, then afran is mutam. So Tosfos writes that'll chapan afkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon with respect to biachomets. If you're like Rabbi Yehuda and biachomets are the b'sreifa, so after you burn it and it turns into ashes, then the ashes will be mutter, even though with Pesach, you're not allowed to get hana from chametz, but the ashes, after burning the chametz, will be mutter, because Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa holds that anis ein b'yachametz ala b'sreifa, so kol anis rafa nafra mutter. But according to the chachamim, the Rabbi Yehuda, the hashbusasa b'chol davar, so it's not at all min anis rafim, So then Tosfos says, Tosfos interprets in the Gemara like that. The Tosfos on the Chafalof and Beis Dima Mascha Bahari the Kasarflay the Sanimene Shum the Rabbi Yehuda Dama Chometz Bisreifa Haframuter the Tanya Konazaf and Haframuter. So they thought that the chametz will be mutter b'hanu according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbanan that hashbasasa b'chadav, it's not bisreifa. So then it will be also. Why is there a difference between the sraf and igbarim? So the Rishonim explained there in Tmura, Rab Chaim and his Sefer, and the Rambam quotes this. Rishonim say because ain l'chadav shenasis mitzvasai omayalim by. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's nasis mitzvasa. According to Rabbanan, it's not nasis mitzvasa. So that's what Rabbi Kadeger points out. This Tosfos is problematic. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, bein Rabbanan, there is a mitzvah of tashbisu to destroy the chametz. So they should both agree that it should be afren should be muta, even if you all like the chachamim that hashbasasa b'chol dov, it's not b'sreifa. But the hashbasasai, that is the key of my mitzvah. So I should also say, hanisrafim afra muta. I should say that the yeshes should be muta. That's Rabbi Kivegis ha'or. It's a problem. Why Tosfos shows that seems to be the pasha pshat. Yeah. Pasha pshat negemar. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be a hava minute to think that Satan saying be a chomis al b'srei folks, so call on the shraf ma'afar muta. According to Rabbana, the Rabbi Yehuda, there's not even a habamina. So that's Rabbi Kivegir is. Why not? That should have been a din. Because on the shraf ma'afar muta is muta because nasis mitzvasan and the chadavish and nasis mitzvasa in my boy. So Rabbi Chaim in his sefer has a whole essay on this, questionable essay. So he explains what kind of a din is this? So we noticed that the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah say at the end of Tamura, as well as the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, when he quotes the din kol anisraf from Afron Mutter, he adds on two words, kol anisraf from Shal Hegdish, Afron Mutter. He doesn't agree with Tosfos. Tosfos says in a few places that Orla and Klai Akerm are also Bisreifa. So the ashes from Orla Klarkam would also be Muta Bahano. In the Rambam, yeah. So the Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam only says Hanisrafim Shal Hegdish, yeah. How do you explain that din? Hanisrafim Afra Muta because Ein Lechadavish and Asis Mitzosam. Well, Rab Chaim in the Sefer explains what it means is like this. Let's say a couple have a baby boy and they're supposed to be mal the baby on the eighth day. So instead of being mal on the eighth day, they take the time and the baby doesn't get a bris till he's 75 years old. He finally decides he has to do a bris. So he says, since before he died, and this Gilgal, he did a bris milah, so he fulfilled the mitzvah. He should have done the mitzvah earlier, but at the end of the day, he did fulfill a mitzvah. Or do you say no? That he was mavatla mitzvah, even though at the end of his years, at the age of 75, he finally performs the bris milah, he gets a mal to be malhim, but since he postponed every day, every day after his bar mitzvah, he's in violation of the din of bitla mitzvah of bris milah. So that's a famous machlekes. The Mishnah says, based on Pesukim Chumash, one who doesn't mal himself is Chayv Kuris. All the other the Lamavav Krisus Amur is Batur. That's the first Mishnah in Krisus, the 36th of Eris, for which the punishment is Kuris. And 34 out of the 36 have a Lav, and two of them only have an essay. Which are the two that have an essay? If you don't bring a Korban Pesach, you Chayv Kuris. If you don't perform a Bris Milah, the baby, the father is not chayv kores for not performing a bris milah. But if the baby never performs a bris milah, there's a chayv kores. So what if the baby postpone until finally at the age of 75, he doesn't postpone anymore. He's soon going to go to the other world. So finally at the age of 75, he arranges for a mal to do him a bris milah. So do you say he deserves oinish kores because he postponed? That's machlekes, the Rambam and the Rav, and machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos and Makkos. They say that this kores, He's over and he's a chorus every day that he postpones it. He say no, only if he dies an oral. He never did the bismillah at all. So that's so some Rishonim say that just postponing is already chayv karis. Just postponing the bris, pushing it off, is already chayv karis. This machlekes, another saying, no, only if he dies and he absolute dilly dallying. He dies already and he never took care of the bris milah. So another mamas will be punished because he deserves karis. He never fulfilled the mitzvah of milah at all. Yes, so Rav Chaim has, how do you understand this din? That call on Israel from Afra Mutter because Ein Lecha Dovish and Asas Mitzvah Sam Berlin Boy. So he says, Pigal Neisa Tomei is also Bahano because it's Oymed Le Mitzvah to do this Reifa. So if you'll get Hano, usually things are also Bahano because it's also Bahano, Basa Bacholub is also Bahano, Sharan Iskal is also Bahano. But sometimes things are also Bahano because if you get Hano, that's considered as if you're Mevatel Mitzvah. So what's an example? So let's say Pigal Naisa Tam is a mitzvah to burn it, according to the Tosfos, even oil on Klal Karam also, not only in Nisrafim Shal Hegdush. So because it's Oymed L'mitzvasai, so you're supposed to burn it when you have a chance. You're supposed to burn, there's no din by your rabbi, Matzei, but you're supposed to burn the oil on the Klal Karam or the Pigal Naisa Tam when you have an opportunity. So if the person gets Hanor from it, and then he burns it an hour later because he had to get Hanor from it. So he postpones the burning of the Pigal Neisa Tomei. So that's the getting Hanor is considered as if he was Mevatel Mitzvasai of burning it. But once he burnt it already, that he was Mekayim Mitzvasai, so there's no reason that it should be Asam Hanor. It's a different kind of Isa Hanor. Isa Hanor constitutes a Bitl Mitzvasai of burning it. Yeah. So that's what Prime explains in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam seems to hold that it only applies by Nisraf Mishal Hegdish. The whole Issa in the first place is because it's Oymed L'mitzvasai, and if you go to get Hano, it's considered as if you're Mevatel L'mitzvasai. As if you didn't, like the one who postponed having the bris, he was postponing destroying the Pigal Nosa Tomei, even though there's no big rush. There's no Balyura or anything, but still, if he postpones, that's considered a bitl essay. But once he already fulfilled the essay, once he already did burn the pigal nasi tami, then it's ein lecha dovish and atz mitzvah sam ba'elim bo, then it'll be muta b'hanor. That's the Rav Chaim's explanation. That was what we mentioned. That's not like the Chasam Sefer. Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva writes he was very close to his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler lived there. Chasam Sofer as a child was born in Frankfurt in Germany. I think his mother is buried there in the cemetery in Frankfurt. And people consider his mother a big tzaddikah, so people go to be mispalol on his mother's kever in the Jewish cemetery in Frankfurt. So the Chasam Sofer writes that he always followed everything that his Rebbe, he watched everything the Rebbe did, and Lozozayad Metochiyad, if his Rebbe would have done something, he would have noticed it. So he says he never noticed that the Rebbe burnt the Orlo Paris. The Rebbe had Orlo, he had bushes and he had trees in his farm that gave off berries or fruits, but he never used to burn them. Why not? So that's kasha number one. How come his Rebbe never burnt? So some answer, Orla b'chutzlor, it's different. Mitzvah to burn Orla is only Orla bear, so Orla b'chutzlor, no mitzvah to burn it. But Chasam Sofer doesn't answer like that. That's what Rav Chaim explains. Chasam Sofer doesn't answer like that. That's one kasha he has. How come his Rebbe didn't burn the Orla? Tzveita kasha, how come none of the Moni HaMitzvah count that as a mitzvah? That Orla should be Asabano. No, why don't they count it as a mitzvah to burn the orla, to burn the kloy hakem, to burn the orla? So he comes up with the teretz, one kasha for emphasis the other. He thinks that it's not that there's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to burn the orla and the klar kerem. The din says if you burn it, then the ashes will be mutabahano, but no mitzvah to burn it. So that's totally not in accordance with Rav Chaim's understanding of the nature of that din. Rav Chaim explained why is anisraf and afra muta, because nasis mitzvah, and what does it mean? The whole isa ana is because the thing is oimed le mitzvah. So if you'll get hana, you'll be postponing this reifa. So that constitutes a bit le mitzvah of burning the orla and the klei kerem. But if you say that the Rebbe held that there's no chiyuv to burn it at all, just if you burn it, it'll be mutter. It doesn't. That's what one of the rabbanim said. How can some say that it's against Rav Chaim? So Rabbi Giftu is jokingly answering. Some say he's entitled to disagree with Rav Chaim. But it's a whole different understanding of what, how do you understand the nature of the din in the Chodav Shanasim Mitzvah San Ma'alim Boy. Okay, enough introductions. And tomorrow, Blinetta, we're going to start the famous Sugya Chizkiah and Rabbi Abo. In the yeshivas in Europe, in Hungary and Galitza, they used to give shiurim on sugyas. They wouldn't learn straight. They would learn a sugya. So this is one of the famous sugyas, Machlekes Chizkiah and Rabbi Abo, all Isurei Achila. Are they all osa b'ano, or each one has to have, is it one general klal? Whenever it says, le'yachol asach, le'yachol asach, le'yachol asach, le'yachol asach, le'yachol. But he's saying, no, each and every one has to have its own pasuk. So that will start tomorrow. Okay.